fast asleep. You lie awake and think about the girl and never ever think of counting sheep. When your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time.
Okay, welcome everybody. I'm going to call the meeting for a Planning Commission meeting of the City of Goleta for August 14th, 2023 to order. Next, we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we'll have the roll call of the Planning Commission.
Thank you. Chair Miller?
Here.
Or I'm sorry, Commissioner Miller. Commissioner Fullerton.
Here.
Commissioner Chapman.
Here.
Vice Chair Maynard.
Here.
And Chair Smith.
Here.
Thank you.
Next, we have public forum. This is the time on our agenda when members of the public can speak on any item that we don't have agendized to discuss this evening. Do we have any speakers for public forum?
Thank you, Chair Smith and commissioners. At this time, I don't see any members of the public joining via Zoom, and I have not received any speaker slips.
Okay. With that, we will close the public forum. Do we have any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda?
Madam Chair, we don't have any amendments or adjustments, but we do have a new face at the dais, and I'd like to take the time and opportunity right now to introduce our new Planning Commission Chair, Clerk, Mary Turnovskaya, who has just joined us, and she will be a PER staff member who will be helping us with all of our boards and commissions. So we're very happy to welcome her here this evening, and I look forward to working with her in the future.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that introduction and welcome. Okay, next, our next item is a public hearing. Will our clerk read this item in for our meeting?
Thank you. This is item A1, a request to amend the Camino Real specific plan and development plan, removal of the specific plan overlay designation, approval of the Stork medical office buildings with a daycare use, and an approximately 2-foot height adjustment, and accept a California Environmental Quality Act notice of exemption at 6975 Santa Felicia Drive, APN 073-440-026, comma, case numbers 21-0005-DP, comma, 21-0002-SP, comma, 22-0002-ORD, comma, 23-0001-DPAM.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's see. So we do, this is a public hearing. And so I understand that we will have a staff presentation. And is this a good time to sort of review our procedure for the evening? So we'll make sure that our commissioners give any disclosures of ex parte communications. We will have the staff presentation, and then we've also had a request from the applicant for a presentation as well. So that'll be followed by the applicant presentation. We'll make sure during that time or afterwards that commissioners ask any questions. Then we'll move to the public comment period, and it's our practice to do 3 minutes for public comment. We will bring it back to the commission at that time. If there's any final, questions, then we will close the public hearing and move into deliberation from there. So I guess before we dive in, we'll start with, are there, we'll go through any ex parte communications or disclosures for the Planning Commission. I'll start down here with Commissioner Miller.
I have no ex parte communications.
I've had no ex parte communications on this project, though I did do a drive-by of the site, got to see the story poles, and checked out some of the bike paths around the area.
Yes, I had some communications just with staff, and I understand the questions that I communicated will be addressed tonight this evening, and I also did a drive-by of the site.
I have no ex parte communications, and I did not drive by the site now, but I have in the past.
So I've had communications with staff. I think that will come up again. And then I've also communicated with Hillary Blackerby at the MTD to ask some questions about the bus stops and transit-related aspects of this.
Okay, we will first move on to our staff presentation. Ms. Chang.
Okay, thank you, Chair Smith and members of the commission. Before I begin, I wanted to acknowledge the project planner who is not here tonight to present, Christina McGuire. She did work very hard to get us here tonight, and she had some other scheduled things pre-scheduled. So I will be doing my best to present the project. This just work, literally. Okay, let's start out with the project location. It's at 6975 Santa Felicia Drive. It's a 4.3-acre partially developed site that's south of Santa Felicia Drive and west of Stork Road. So the approval requests include a specific plan amendment, an overlay rezone, a development plan amendment, a new development plan, and also a CEQA categorical exemption. And I'll talk a little bit about that in detail. So the specific plan amendment, there was a specific plan amendment initiation by the City Council in June of 2021. It allowed this project to move forward. That's before you tonight. It's to remove the parcel from the Camino Real specific plan map. And that specific plan was approved by the County Board of Supervisors in 1997. And it's essentially to delete the MTD Transit Center use, which was identified in the specific plan. And the reason for that is that the MTD Transit use is no longer allowed in our current land use and zoning. Following that, a removal from the specific plan overlay needs to take place with a zoning map amendment and also a development plan amendment, which was the original Camino Real development plan. We need to remove that parcel from the original development plan. And that all has to happen before a new development plan is considered, which is going to be for two-story medical office buildings, an accessory child care use, a height adjustment, and associated site improvements. So before I get into the project description, I'll go through a little bit of the background. Again, the City Council initiated a specific plan amendment which allowed this application to be before us tonight. The project application was submitted with all the components, including the development plan with the new proposed uses. The application was deemed complete November 2022. We reached out to the Native American consultation list, the tribes that are identified in the Native American consultation, Native American Heritage Commission list, And there was one tribe that was interested in consultation but never followed up with us. We reached out several times and didn't hear back from them, so we completed that process in May of 2023. We also prepared a CEQA notice of exemption in May, and that was presented at the Design Review Board meeting in May as well. So that was the first time that was released. This graphic just shows the specific plan before removing the parcel from the Camino Real Marketplace specific plan. And then this next one shows the removal of the parcel after. And there's really some minor changes. I don't know if that the graphics can really depict exactly, you know, what we're trying to show, but you know, it is a pretty minor amendment to the overall specific plan. So the meat of this project is the new development. We just talked about the process. Here's a site plan, and I think in your packet you have a better site plan in the staff report. We wanted to show the entire site. And the development that's going to occur is on 1.9 acres of the 4.3 acre parcel. This is one parcel, so that parcel needs to be removed from the specific plan for the new development to be considered. The 2.4 acres is already developed with a 175-space parking lot, a bioswale, landscaping, sidewalk, walking paths, and freeway. That's the 2.4 acres of the 4.32 acres. So the remaining vacant site is 1.9 acres, which the new development is being proposed on. And the new development consists of, So there will be two new buildings, and one building will have a child care facility of 2,113 square foot in the western building, and that's to support future employees. The two buildings are each 18,600 square feet, two stories, and there will be a new parking lot created on the site, which will have 71 standard parking spaces. Along the southern edge of the new parking lot, there will be 15 electrical vehicle charging stations. There will be four electrical outlets for e-bikes and also eight ADA-compliant parking spaces. As part of the project, there will be landscape buffers provided along Santa Felicia Drive, Stork Road, and Freeway to screen and enhance the project boundary. Landscaping is to be drought-tolerant, low-maintenance trees, shrubs, and ground cover. And there will be landscape islands that will include trees to provide shade and surrounding vehicles to mitigate the effect of heat in the parking lot. So that's the overall project description of the new development on the 1.9-acre site. Here is an elevation that shows the building design, and the Design Review Board did have favorable comments during their review in May. They had some minor comments expressed that the breakup of the corner of the building that you see on the right side that the applicant is considering and working on with some indents, and also changing out existing light bulbs with the new proposed light bulbs, so in the parking lot. This project will have to come back to the Design Review Board for final review, so I understand that the applicant is incorporating the comments from DRB, which really are considered pretty minor. And the DRB's recommendation was for the Planning Commission to consider accepting the design as proposed with those minor comments. So as part of the project, a building height adjustment is requested, and exactly it's 1 foot 9 inches, and that is to the peaks of the two buildings and also the cornice of the building. And my understanding is that was to be designed to be more proportional with the buildings, and I'll let the architect kind of describe why they're proposing that. And just want to mention there is a provision that allows height adjustments with the findings. So the site is located in the Santa Barbara Airport Safety Zone 2. In May, a lot happened in May. The SPGAG adopted findings determined that the project is consistent with the airport land use compatibility plan. And there, we did receive some comments during the DRB process that there were questions from the public, several public members that asked why not have residential uses on the site. And the reason is because residential uses are not allowed in Safety Zone 2. So the reason for a specific plan amendment is because the use that's identified in the specific plan conflicts with the now city's general commercial land use and zoning designations. The original uses envisioned are no longer needed. There was an MTD transit use and a roller rink that was identified. Again, that the transit use is no longer allowed in our current general plan and zoning. And as part of the specific plan amendment, a zoning overlay would need to be eliminated to reflect the removal from the specific plan. And then also the development plan amendment as well to remove the project site from the original development plan, which then gives the new development to be compatible with the city's land use and zoning standards. So next we have the CEQA, So the development plan is subject to provisions of the city's ordinance, where in this case a development plan is required for the new proposal, and it's also to provide a discretionary review process and analysis. That's before you tonight for your consideration to move on to the City Council. So now we talk about CEQA. We found that the project met all the criteria for a Class 32 categorical exemption, so a notice of exemption was prepared, and again, it was made available during the DRB hearing in May of 2023. So during our analysis through this project, we found the project to be consistent with the general plan policies, recognizing commercial uses such as medical office building and childcare facility as a valuable resource for this location in this area of town. The project is consistent with current zoning regulations and applicable development standards with the height adjustment if that's approved, and it's also compatible with the airport land use plan, which was approved. So with that, I had some notes that I wanted to mention. Oh, the development plan. Oh, I got my pages mixed up. I'm sorry. I wanted to mention on the development plan, it includes conditions of approval to implement construction. It requires development impact fees, which includes traffic impact fees, along with housing in lieu fees to offset the need for additional housing. So that's in your packet to consider the conditions of approval. And with that, we did have some questions regarding traffic and site and the circulation pattern. And we do have our city engineer on Zoom here that can be available for questions if the commission has questions regarding that. And we're going to just conclude with the recommendation that the Planning Commission considers the specific plan amendment, zoning overlay amendment, the development plan amendment, and the new development plan with the project design and height adjustment and CEQA exemption to move that forward to the City Council for approval. I wanted just to mention also the development plan project design. The DRB did review the project design, again, had favorable comments, and also did look at the height adjustment as well and did not find any impacts on that from a design standpoint. So with that, we have Ms. Prossy here tonight that is involved in the project as well. And again, our city engineer, Mark Schleich. And I believe Ms. Scheisses would like to provide some background information, and the architect, Mr. Poirier, would like to just touch on some of the project design. So with that, I'm happy to answer questions when you're ready. Thank you.
Are there questions from commissioners for staff at this time? I'll do one round now and then follow up with another round, but kind of while it's fresh, I think while the staff presentation is fresh in everyone's mind. Commissioner Fullerton.
Yeah, I have a question. We got a public comment, and they mentioned in the public comment that not all required transportation-related development standards in the specific plan have been fulfilled. Can you elaborate on that? Like, is there anything in the original plan that wasn't done, and is that incorporated into this new project?
I think we'll provide a response, and then I think Ms. Scheisses would probably be able to answer that more, because I think she's one of the only people who in this room who was part of the project way back when. As far as the city knows, and as staff is aware, the applicant did, you know, all the improvements that were that the county imposed, or that the county maybe in some alternative way accepted, the implementation of, the county issued land use permits, building permits, and certificates of occupancy for the development, and they wouldn't have done that if they hadn't found the project to be consistent with what they had required. So we're in a situation where when we incorporated, that project was built and operational, and the city doesn't usually go back and enforce, determine that they didn't implement conditions the way that the previous jurisdiction did, should have. Now, I know in terms of like the overcrossing, I do understand that, and that there was a contribution made to cover the cost of that, and the county did not use it the way that the conditions stated. But I think Ms. Scheisses, when it's her presentation, she might be able to elaborate on that. And it looks like Mr. Imhoff wanted to add.
Madam Chair, the only thing that I had to add is that, of course, the MTD Transit Center on this site was not constructed either, because MTD decided that that wasn't needed.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Chapman.
I would like to sort of second the sort of some of the background on some of the transportation improvements and sort of what we know about that. In particular, I'm curious about the overcrossing, and if was there a contribution that was earmarked for that would still be available, or is that something that's sort of lost the time?
I believe Ms. Scheisses can answer that, but if my understanding, and there was a letter that she provided us, that they made the contribution to the county, and those funds were with the county, and they did not come to the city when we incorporated, as far as I know.
Thank you. And then as far as the, it seems to be indicated that since the transit center wasn't kind of determined to be appropriate because of having to turn frequently onto, Stork, was instead the current bus shelters were built sort of in lieu of that? Is that kind of the situation there?
Yes, that was the alternative.
Okay, thank you. I also have a question about the parking. I see in the report that there is additional parking provided over what is required by Title 17. And there is an arrangement with the shared parking with the existing parking lot. I have concerns about the aspects of mitigating the effects of parking and the heat island effect. And I do know that there is plan for trees, which do some but not all mitigation. And the area has quite a pronounced heat island effect from a lot of the paved surfaces. Would this area be, would this parking arrangement be eligible for reductions in the minimum parking requirement from either difference in peak parking demand or because of the amount that the area has transit service?
Well, the parking is over the zoning requirement, so they could reduce, but they're proposing the extra, I think, for the reason of the ice skating rink. When they have events, that they could have extra parking.
And I'm pulling up the zoning code to see what the provisions are. It's possible it could be subject to that, and that could be something you, if the commission felt was appropriate, could recommend that to the city council.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Smith and Commissioner Chapman, just wanted to add that my understanding is that there are some trees that are not in good shape, that are not providing cover, and that the replacement tree should be a better situation for the heat effect in the parking lot. I don't know to what degree, but that's the intent.
Okay, yeah, and I guess regarding, you know, any new parking lot, if there's any interest in reduction of that to further mitigate any heat island effect, replacing that with landscaping or something like that. And then I have one more question. There is currently a capital improvement project of rearranging a little bit of the bus stops and the, I think, some relabeling of the travel lanes on Stork and Hollister. And perhaps a Public Works representative could comment on this. Is that affected by this project at all? Or the Camino Real specific plan?
Hello, Commissioners. Mark Schleich with Public Works. That project will not affect this project and vice versa. The bus pads, the new bus pockets are to the north of Santa Felicia, and this project is on the southwest corner of Santa Felicia and Stork.
Okay, thank you. That's all for now.
And Chair Smith, I can respond. I pulled up the shared parking. And what the code says is where shared parking serving more than one use will be provided, a total combined number of required parking spaces may be reduced up to 50% by the Planning Commission, with the Planning Commission's approval of a major conditional use permit. If the commission finds that, and there's four findings, the peak hours of the use won't overlap or coincide to the degree that the parking spaces will be greater, that the peak demand for the parking spaces won't be greater than the total supply of spaces, that the proposed shared parking provided will be adequate to serve each use at its peak demand. A parking demand study has been prepared by a traffic engineer and supports the proposed reduction. And four, in the case of a shared parking facility that serves more than one property, a conjunctive parking agreement's been prepared. So in this case, it would entail another action, which has not been studied or noticed or along those lines. But that is a tool.
Thank you. Next, Vice Chair Maynard.
So the specific plan and development plan makes a lot of sense to me for the whole Camino Real marketplace. Can you talk about, and sort of then separating it at this one property out makes sense. Once we look at a sort of just two buildings on one lot, why use a development plan here rather than sort of a typical process that we would use for proposing a single building on a lot? Can you just talk about the difference in the use of a development plan as the new approach here?
A development plan is the primary approach that we use to facilitate or to allow development to happen on a property.
Okay.
So no, this is what would happen.
Okay.
If this property hadn't been part of a mm-hmm. specific plan, you know, those three applications mm-hmm. that Mary went through, the process ones to eliminate it from the specific plan, eliminate it from the, you know, zoning and remove it from the other development plan, they would have just come in for a development plan, design review, CEQA review, and we would be here doing the same thing except for the other three components. And it would have stayed here at the Planning Commission and not needed to go on to City Council.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's it right now.
Let's see, I had one question. I guess it's maybe a little bit more of a comment, but my understanding is, in addition to the MTD transit, that initially it had been proposed that there'd be an outdoor roller rink in this location. And my understanding is that one now exists in the Earl Warren. I just know that item had been in the news recently, and I just didn't know if there had been any outreach to either officials at Earl Warren or any of the skating groups. It's sort of anecdotal, but I just didn't know if there was any risk that use at that site might go away.
We don't have information about that in terms of, you know, what the plans are at the Earl Warren Showground. Mm-hmm. I believe Ms. Scheisses has a little bit of background on that and what took place, what the thought, what the vision was, and perhaps even where things are now. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Okay. Thank you. I just know that's a recent development, and that might be helpful, particularly before Council takes up this matter, to maybe try to get the most current information on that item. I think that was my only question. Any other questions from commissioners? Okay. So next we'll move on to the... I'm sorry. One more question. Commissioner Fullerton.
Can I just get clarification on the development fees? It seems as if there's an 85% reduction in the fees because it's a beneficial project. Is that because of the daycare, or is that because it's a medical building, or both?
There's two conditions regarding development impact fees. The area that is the medical office building will pay at 100% rate the fees that are associated with, what is that, 34,000 square feet, roughly. Mm-hmm. They'll pay 100% of the development impact fees associated with that square footage. The square footage devoted to daycare will be reduced by the 80% because it is a beneficial project. If in the future that area was no longer used as a daycare, then one of the conditions is that they enter into an agreement in recognizing that they'd have to pay the balance of the development impact fees at the time that area was converted, back, if that was to happen. But there is a reduction because it is a daycare was determined by the City Council to be a use that we wanted to encourage in the city.
Okay, so it is only that one part of
yes.
it, not the entire project.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next we'll move on to the applicant presentation.
Is this on? Oh, it is. My name is Kim Scheisses, and I'm the project planner, coordinator, and all of it for this project. I have with me tonight two of the partners that are in on this project with me, Mark Ingalls and Jordan Dehone, and also our design team and our attorney. Would you like me to answer some of those questions first before I go to my presentation, or vice versa?
That would be fine if you wanted to address those briefly and then move into your presentation.
Okay, I'll take some of the simple ones first. And the first has to do with the roller rink. You can tell by the fact that we have had a roller rink and an ice rink that I love hockey. And so it was pretty disappointing when the Goleta Hockey League decided not to build their rink there and to merge and take it to Santa Barbara. I think at the time Goleta was pretty small and they thought it was too far out for people to drive. Anyway, I didn't know anything about Earl Warren maybe eliminating that lease there, so I can't answer that question. I don't know what's going on at Earl Warren. I suppose if there was no roller hockey there, it might be a little boost for the ice rink business, but so I can't really answer that question. I'm sorry. The other simpler question has to do with the parking and the heat island effect. It just occurred to me when you were thinking about, maybe suggesting taking away parking on the new part that we're going to develop. The project, the medical office building project, requires about 117 parking stalls on its own. And we, on our new project, are providing 79 of those 117, and the others are being picked up by what's existing in the 175 spot existing parking lot. It's important to us and our design team that for a medical office building that the parking be as close to the buildings as possible, for obvious reasons. So if you talk about eliminating some of the parking that we're thinking about providing, you also have to think about, well, what am I doing to the future users? And on that new parking area, we have done, I think our landscape architect has done a great job in minimizing the heat island effect. I feel like what you're referring to is the existing parking lot that's there now with the trees that are dead. And I think you have a really good point there, which is why as part of this project, we're going to try to enhance the vegetation and the shading in that parking lot. That may not take care of all of your concern, but I would just bring up that eliminating parking in front of the buildings is maybe not ideal. And now the last and more complicated issue, and it has to do with what happened back in 1997 through 2000 with respect to our traffic obligations. any applicant is required to do frontage improvements, and for this 83-acre parcel, they were extensive. And those frontage improvements are on your dime. They aren't part of your traffic fees or anything like that. And in this case, they included all of the street improvements that go around the sidewalks, the bike paths, Santa Felicia, Los Niños Way, the bus stops, the bus stop improvements, anything that was touching the site, and all of the median landscaping, just all of that stuff was part of our frontage improvements. We also paid $5.6 million in traffic fees. And it was from those traffic fees that a lot of the improvements, other improvements, were supposed to happen. And some did. On-ramp onto 101, a new lane between Stork and Los Carneros, extensive improvements at the intersection of Stork and Hollister. But we, the applicant, had written into this specific plan, alternative transportation plan, some other ways the money could be used. Now, we can't tell the county how to use our money, but they were ways that the money could be used. And, they weren't anything that we had control of once we wrote that check. So, the bike overcrossing never happened. And there were reasons, according to the county, that it didn't happen, and they couldn't obtain right-of-way on one side or the other to actually design it. So it was an idea that hadn't been engineered. There was the shuttle, and once MTD wasn't going to come to the site, then there was no shuttle. So there was just a number of things that happened that made it so that the money wasn't spent where it was hopefully going to be spent if you were looking at it from an alternative transportation point of view. And this has come up so many times. And so in 2007, we wrote an extensive letter to the city council to kind of outline, even in more detail than I gave you, what had happened. And I sent that to Mary today. And if you're of interest, you know, you can take a look at it. It goes through some other issues too related to Gersh Park and stuff, but that is what happened. So that's the end of my answering of the question. So now on to the present. And I guess I want to start out by thanking staff, all of the staff here who've worked with us for a couple years now to get here. It's a pretty simple project, but the background's not simple, and the regulatory environment is no longer simple, so it has not been easy for them, and thank you. Also, I thought it might be helpful for you as planning commissioners, you know, you just look at a project, and if you're looking at a residential project, you know, the zoning is the zoning, and so you go, okay, I'm going to be looking at residences, but here the zoning is neighborhood commercial, so there's a wide range of land uses that you could be hearing about today. So I wanted to kind of get you to the point of how did we get here today and why this use. I think you've kind of understood the history now that we wanted it to be a roller rink initially and an MTD, and we went as far as design and development plan approval before those uses went away. And it was pretty disappointing, but we went ahead and built the parking lot that was going to serve the ice rink, and hopefully one day it was going to have served the roller rink. We built the bioswale, but it still left this 1.9 acre piece. And for many years, we either didn't focus on it if we were doing Maravilla or something else, or we focused on it with some ideas. And some of those ideas were a mini golf course. For a while, we looked at a skate rink. But we always came back to the same thing on our team, is that we wanted to look for, this was the last piece of Camino, and we wanted to look for a use that would serve many segments of the community. And, you know, a skate rink didn't capture all of the community, and neither did a mini golf course. So then we came up a couple years ago with an idea to bring cheaper gas to this part of Goleta. So we, a gas station and a car wash. But it required that the city change the general plan and zoning designation from neighborhood commercial to general commercial. And the city council denied our request to initiate that change. And it was probably, now I can tell you from my perspective, it was a blessing in disguise. Because now we have come up with another idea, and it's one that fits with the zoning. It's one that fits with the general plan. But more importantly and most importantly, it really is something that we feel is really needed in Western Goleta. I don't know how many of you live out here. I do, in Rancho Embarcadero, and you are driving at least four stops down to Patterson, most of the time downtown, for any kind of wellness or healthcare. And for a community out here that's grown with so much housing and will continue to grow, I think to have a balanced community and the people out here deserve to have health and wellness facilities closer by. Now, we don't have a tenant, but we feel that if we build it, they will come because it's that important. You know, I come at it from somewhat of a personal perspective. I spent a couple years in the healthcare system, and every time I had to give blood, do blood work, or do anything, I was in my car, and I didn't always want to get in it. So I think this will be a great thing. And so that explains why we came to this use. And from a planning perspective, not only is this a great use for the community, but it's a great location for this use for the community. You know, it's next to a fire station. It's next to a park. If you were seeing a physical therapist, maybe some of your therapy is to walk. It's fronting on a road. Access is easy from a vehicular basis. There's a number of neighborhoods around here, so it's walkable. You know, it's somewhat walkable. If you live in Stork Ranch or even other places nearby, you could walk. And so, and there's a bus pullout that's already built. So we just thought from a planning perspective, it was a really good location. And the site from another environmental perspective, it's already been disturbed. It was graded and ready to go back in 1997. And so there aren't any resources that we would be disturbing because anything that was there was disturbed. So from an environmental perspective, You know, we have kind of a clean, dirty site to work with. So with a great idea and a great location, what we needed was a great site design, architectural design and landscape design. And that's where our architect and our landscape architect did not disappoint. Designing medical office buildings isn't like, you know, when we did Camino, you know, beautiful paving, you know, covered up with landscaping. I mean, there's different things that you have to think about when you design a medical office space, because it has to be accessible for people who are elderly and maybe not ambulatory. There's just different things to think about that I didn't know about. But I have an architect that did. And so unless there's any more questions, I'd really like to turn it over to Paul Poirier, and he can talk to you about some of the thinking and the design things that went into it for him.
Thank you.
Chair Smith and commissioners, thanks for having me over here today. We were very concerned about the heat island effect, and Chris Gilliland, the landscape architect, is here if you want to ask him about how he's addressed that or anything about tree or plant species. But I don't know if you have a picture of the site plan, Mary. But we designed the whole building has one elevator and another stairway going to it, and they're located towards the center of the parking lot in the middle. And all of the buildings are at the same elevation. So if you were handicapped, you'd park in one of the handicapped spaces and be able to go to one of the corner towers where the elevator is to get up to the second floor. And then we have entrances along the south sides of the buildings as well, facing the parking lot. And there'll be some entrances on the ends that face onto Stork and towards the parking lot by the ice skating rink. So we're going to really be entering the buildings kind of on three sides. And on the western end, we have an outdoor play area for the daycare and the daycare element down on that end of the building as well. So it'd serve people who are working here at the medical offices, as well as some employees who work over at the Camino Real Marketplace would be able to drop their kids off there in the morning and have daycare. I know my wife and I work, and we're luckily my office and my house are near Christ Presbyterian Church in downtown Santa Barbara, so we were able to put both of our boys there for care until they got to the age where they're going to kindergarten. So that was great for us, and it helped out in terms of the realities that we have without any grandparents or anything in town. Let's go back to the building. So the decision was made to make the building look like the rest of the Camino Real Marketplace with sort of a Spanish-style look to it. So we've kept consistent with that, and this type of building, we're going to most likely use all-electric VRF air conditioning and heating units, which means that there are these large things that are going to go on the roof and be hidden by the little mansard roof tile element that goes up around the side to hide the equipment that's on the roof, like you would do for any other grocery store or anything like that. But we wanted it to look like a little more residential and typical of a Spanish building. That's why at the end that is on the east end and the west end, it's sort of a big square element in plan with a big pyramid roof that goes up. We have the slope of the roof a little bit less than 4 and 12 to keep it at 37 feet to the ridge. And that's where we're asking for the 2 extra feet. I think if we made the roof flatter to go right to 35, you really wouldn't see very much of the tile roof when you got away from it very far. And really, there's you can't put that document up we sent you today that showed where the 35-foot line is. Well, it's only the very tippy top of that giant triangular roof, and it's just the coping on the elevator tower on the right. That's 2 feet thick there. So those elements are the elements we're asking for the exception for the height on. Because I don't really feel like the whole building is, the building will appear the height of the eave when you're driving by on the street, more so than it'll appear the height of the peak. But when you get a distant view of the building, you'll be able to see the peak going up away from you at the center of the building. And then we're cutting into that roof a little bit, so the parapet Maybe just center on a laser pointer. You walk over here and just show you.
Anyway, so we have this big kind of a flattened pyramid roof. And this is where the mechanical equipment is hidden. And the roof, flat part of the roof, comes all the way over here and steps down. So we've carved out the back side of that triangular roof to make some more roof area for the rooftop equipment, because there's a lot of compressors and
I'm sorry to interrupt. We couldn't hear what you said on the mic.
Okay.
Could you repeat your comments?
Yeah. So the flat, do you have a picture of the roof plan? Okay. Anyway, the flat roof extends into part of that big roof area. It's just carved out on the backside, so you can't see it from the ground, but it gives us a large area of flat roof to have all the equipment that we need for the two stories. Building. So there's not going to be any equipment strewn around on the ground around the building. It's all going to be nicely tucked into that upper part of the roof. And then we're using similar earth tone colors and tile, two-piece mission tile roof, just like the Camino Real Marketplace, and some decorative tile going underneath the arches and the 12 by 12 slate, just like at Camino Real. Also some sandstone on the corner towers as well. Let me see if I had any. Yeah, you guys should track down where the money went. You know, I did Fairview Shopping Center, and we donated a large piece of property to county flood control right before the city of Goleta started to make a retention basin that has never been built by the county. But we did work with Caltrans to do a lot of work on that creek, so there's nowhere near the problems that happened 20 years ago. Or so. I don't know if you want to talk real quick, Chris, about heat island effects. I know you did all the calcs on that and how much shade we're throwing on the parking lot. And if you have any other specific questions for Chris or me, we're around. So thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. I wish we had a plan to look at for the landscape, but basically we did a study with that was required by the city to address that. So there's a certain percentage of that parking area that needed to be covered by mature canopy from the trees, and also a major improvement is going to be, as Ms. Scheises mentioned, the existing parking lot for the skating rink is currently now devoid of trees, and so the plan is to replant that whole parking lot with new trees. So you have, the study was done quite a while ago, so if you have specific questions, go ahead and ask about that heat island effect.
Vice Chair Maynard.
I'll try to remember.
Just a quick question. What happened to the trees on the ice rink side? Why do you think that they didn't do so well?
I think it was probably just a lack of proper maintenance over time and maybe not adjusting the irrigation to the right extent at the right time and you know, just TLC. Yeah.
Commissioner Chapman.
The proposed development agreement includes maintenance, obligations for maintenance of the new landscaping, correct?
Correct. Okay.
And then I guess another question is, so I know that, you know, it mitigates some of the heat effect, but not all of it. Would any change in the amount of parking spaces allow for more landscaping that would mitigate more of that effect? And I guess, you know, how much of a difference would the difference in number of parking spaces make?
I mean, theoretically, yes, if you eliminated more parking and planted more trees, but we are meeting the requirement for the amount of reduction in heat island effect. And I if we had a plan, I think you'd see how many new trees are actually going in, and it's quite a bit. I think this will actually be a good example of the way to address that problem with parking lots. Yeah, I'll just put this in front of you briefly.
I'm sorry, we have to make our comments in the mic, and anything we show to any one commissioner, we have to show to everyone and the public as well. So
I think we have 82 new trees.
Is able to put up an image of the landscape plan.
We don't have it in the PowerPoint.
Okay. Do you want me to pass this down?
I believe we have it in our staff report.
Yeah, it looks like our preliminary landscape plan shows L0.1. And we also have, this maybe is the preliminary. So we do have a planting plan also in here somewhere, which I don't think is in this packet. But this is an accurate representation. As Paul mentioned, 82 or so new trees and in key locations to address that heat island effect.
For context, is it possible to have a percent reduction compared to no vegetation? Is that included?
It was in the study. I don't recall exactly what the percentage was. I want to say, I don't know. I'm not going to guess offhand. It was done probably a year ago, that study.
Okay.
But we can provide that to you if required.
Chair Smith and yes. Planning Commissioners, I believe in big page 193 and 194, you can see the landscape plan, or at least the preliminary.
We are gonna pull down the PowerPoint and probably pull up the DRB present the plans. Well, we'll find them.
So on the site plan, it says that we're adding. Where did it go? 31,600 square feet of paving for the new parking lot area. And it says we have a heat island effect reduction of almost 29,000 square feet. But that's probably including the existing parking lot where the trees died also. So net-wise, it's pretty close to being a wash to what you currently have. That's on A1.1 on the site plan.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Commissioner Chapman?
Not for now. Thank you.
Commissioner Miller.
I have a question about what kind of trees are you planting? Is it all the same kind? Could you tell me the varieties, please?
I'll try to remember.
Because certain trees give much better canopy shade than
Correct.
Other trees.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important to know what these trees are.
I can't read that, but there is quite a variety, actually. We have for larger canopy, we have Tipiwana trees wherever possible, where there's enough space for the root system, because that can be destructive sometimes. Some Brazilian cedarwood, the Cedrela fissilis, also a large canopy, which we put in over at a replacement tree over at Fairview Center, where I worked with Paul on the redo over there. There are quite a few areas, especially along Santa Felicia, where there's just not a whole lot of space. So we have a lot of columnar trees, like the firewheel tree. I think some of the Lophostomon, possibly. We have, I know there's a couple of red buds. There was quite a mix of various, agonis, some bauhinia, ginkgo, I think this is an old list, jacarandas, magnolias, schefflera. So quite a variety. Also, in the parking lot adjacent to the bioswale, those had to be all native trees, so we're using sycamores and additional oaks as well. Quite a few, actually.
Okay, and then as a follow-up to that, so the trees that you plant, are they, what size are they? Are they little tiny things that are going to take forever and a day to grow?
We have,
or are they bigger
ones? Actually, the partners are willing to spend some money on that, so we do have quite a few. I think, minimum 24-inch box. We're going 36s, 48s,
okay,
more in that vein.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we're here in drought country, mm-hmm, and those lovely trees need so much water, mm-hmm, to begin their life in the ground. And so I know that it was mentioned that the development agreement calls for maintenance, and right, that's really, really important. With this talk about in the other parking lot where all the trees died, it's really, really heartbreaking, mm-hmm, to, plant these trees and then have them die, because it's just, but it happens. It happens. I live in a new development here in Goleta.
Right.
And we have had many problems with trees that were planted 10 years ago, mm-hmm, when the development was built. And it's just, there's no use in talking a lot about trees and how wonderful they're going to be, but you really, really have to care for them. So that's my only comment.
Yeah, I think, right plant, right place is crucial. Picking the right species to start with, and then maintenance is critical throughout, especially during the first year and two, and all drip irrigation throughout. We're not using spray, so we're cutting down on our water use. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Other landscape questions? Okay, thank you.
Oh, wonderful.
So, Chair and Commissioners, it looks like we have the landscape plans up on screen now, and maybe staff can describe that a little bit.
Oh, I think Paul said my name. Chris Gilliland, landscape architect. I can kind of walk you through this, if you'd like, what trees are where. Along Santa Felicia there at the top of the page, we have, those firewheel trees. The larger canopy that you see upper right are a few eucalyptus, the Citriodora, which is just large, wide, open canopy. We also, the three trees on the bottom and the left, I believe, are Coel reuteria. And if you want to keep rolling here, this kind of shows that parking lot with the oaks and sycamores. Native, and there are some existing oaks and some other trees at the entry to the skating rink, and that's just the other half of that parking lot. I think there were other plans, right? Okay.
Thank you for sharing that. I had one other question. I'm not sure if it's best for the applicant or staff. That intersection at the intersection there at Stork is not signaled. I'm just wondering if I don't know if that would factor into the design at all. I understand that the driveway will be on Santa Felicia, but I just didn't know if there was sort of anything else in the planning process with this proposal, how that influenced the planning.
Yeah, Chair Smith, why don't we ask Mr. Schleich to come on and address that?
Sure.
Commissioners, yeah, we did consider a signal there. Unfortunately, or the challenge of that side is there's a driveway, private driveway across from this intersection that does not align in a way that would could easily facilitate a signal at this location. So that's why we went away from it as well. I think that the traffic volumes, as I recall, didn't necessarily warrant a signal there either. So that's why we did not put a signal there or request a signal there.
Has it ever been considered? I know it's sort of one of those things, like when it's peak traffic, it's a real nightmare navigating that intersection. I don't know if it had ever been considered to like have that be right turn only or somehow change the median. I know when you're exiting and then going on to Stork, if you were trying to make a left, it's sort of a, it's a, oh, we're hearing some background noise, just FYI.
I apologize for that.
That's okay.
Hopefully my dog won't start barking in the next few seconds. We also looked at that, and that's actually was one of our bigger concerns was left turn movements coming out of Santa Felicia into the afternoon onto Stork. In review of that, what we kind of determined is those cars would then make less predictable moves, such as a right and then a U-turn from Stork southbound to Stork northbound, meandering through streets to get to potentially Phelps, exiting on Santa Felicia. So long story short, we did consider that, but we were concerned with the erratic movements that would come from preventing left turns out of Santa Felicia onto Stork. What we did end up doing in working with the applicant was to extend the merging lane for those cars so that they could queue in the middle of the road if necessary, to find gaps to join the northbound Stork traffic.
Thank you. That's helpful context, and I understand what you mean. I think there'd have to be some kind of mechanism or more obvious mechanism, like if you were forced to turn right, and then some sort of obvious like U-turn option or mm-hmm. something more predictable. But yeah, I can see that that's a challenge. Let's see, Commissioner Chapman.
Thank you. I had a question about the bus turnout. In talking with the MTD representative, I think I heard that there will be a bus shelter as part of this plan. Is that, I may have missed it in the plans or in the agreement. Is that correct? Okay, and is it a covered, like a full covered bus shelter? Okay, great, thank you.
And it's in the, it is the condition of approval.
Okay, any other questions from commissioners before we go to public comment? Okay, next we'll go to public comment.
Thank you, Chair Smith and commissioners. At this time, I don't see any members of the public joining via Zoom, and I don't have any speaker slips.
Okay, this is it. Any final questions? Commissioner Miller.
I would like to go back and ask the question about a tenant. You talked about you don't have a tenant yet. Are you looking at one tenant for both buildings, or can you tell us a little bit more about that?
We haven't looked at all. It just doesn't. And it, in the retail world, you know, you'll have tenants that'll sign up long in advance, like Costco did. And when I first got this idea, I went and talked to Kurt Ranselhoff at Sansom. I said, "You think I'm crazy, or would you be interested?" I don't talk to anybody till there's something on the ground. So I think it doesn't really pay to talk to people if you don't know, A, if you're going to have a project, and B, when it's going to be up and running. So we have not talked to anybody.
Okay.
One tenant or many? I don't know. I mean, you know, I have some favorites in town, but that's not, I'm the planner. I'm not the business person. Mm-hmm. I did want to say one thing that I forgot to say, and that as a planner, I'm embarrassed to admit that the childcare component of this project was not my idea. It really came from the city council. When we did the initiation hearing, one of the city council members suggested it, and the others kind of all chimed in what a great thing that would be, and I left thinking, why didn't I think of that? So that's a tenant that we know we're going to have, and it's not my idea, so I'm happy that somebody came up with it.
Well, yeah, I'm happy about the child care facility as well. It would be, you know, I would feel a whole lot better about all of this, knowing that, you know, the building will be filled with medical staff that is there to help our people in the community with their medical and healthcare needs. Our healthcare industry is so crazy in this world. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit disconcerting to me to, this is obviously, you know, a step in the right direction to help folks in that. I'm just, you know, a little bit disconcerted about it, but hopefully it'll all work out.
I agree.
And one other thing that I wanted to mention is that when you do get a tenant in there or several tenants in there, I think it would be extremely helpful for the community and for all those folks using the facility to have a pharmacy in the building, in one of those buildings, because, you know, the only other pharmacy right around here is our CVS up here, and it's a nightmare. I mean, every time I go to the pharmacy to pick up prescriptions, there is a line. I mean, you know, we've got one pharmacy that's going to, well, we have the Target, but that's a whole nother story. You know, but it's really, you know, it would be so helpful if folks can go to the doctor, get their prescriptions, then get in their car or get on their bike or get on a bus and go home. Mm-hmm. And not have to do this double, you know, this double traffic thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, as we know, most things are taken care of this time in the world with pills, you know, with medicine. And that's what our world has become in the healthcare industry. So I think that, that having a pharmacy is critical.
Thank you.
Commissioner Chapman.
So are we in deliberation now?
Just questions at this point, and then we'll move into deliberation.
Oh, okay, I'll wait then.
Okay. Are there any other questions at this time? Okay. There are no further questions. I will close the public hearing, and we will move into deliberation. Would anybody like to start? Commissioner Chapman.
I would like to get the rest of the commission's thoughts on the parking situation, if anybody has any thoughts on that.
Commissioner Fullerton?
I thought what the applicant responded made sense. Having it be a medical building, it does make sense to have the parking be closer and not have to have someone walk all the way around to potentially having to park in front of the the ice rink, so I'm okay with the parking, and it also meets the requirements, and I know the DRB has looked at it in depth as well, so I'm comfortable with the parking.
Vice Chair Maynard.
I'm comfortable with the parking as proposed, with both the ice rink and the daycare having really up and down influxes of parking throughout the day. I think having a little bit more flexibility in the lot makes a lot of sense for that space. When they have larger events at the ice rink, that's definitely going to affect the parking. And then I currently run a garden next to a childcare center, and I can tell you how crazy it gets twice a day when you have drop off and pick up, and having the additional parking for those times I think is going to be really important and useful. I think the applicant has done an amazing job addressing the heat island effect with the implementation of all the trees that are being added, being really thoughtful about large tree canopies. Glad to see the coastal live oaks in there, so really appreciate bringing some of those into the space as well. And also, I'm not sure that folks are going to be allowed to park for Gersh Park, but I also know that when there's large events at Gersh Park, that parking also overflows into all the local, the adjacent lots, and so it's going to get utilized well there as well. I also, at this point, wouldn't want to take them back through an additional planning process, as was described before, to reduce the parking too substantially. So I think at this point, I'm comfortable with what they proposed and with their knowledge of what's going to be needed for their clients.
Commissioner Miller.
I would just echo what Commissioner Maynard said with all of those thoughts. So it's kind of like if you build it, they will come. If you put out the parking spaces, they will park there too. I'm quite sure. So particularly if Gersh Park is allowed to park there, because that place gets crazy sometimes. So I'm fine with the parking. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
I was interested to get commissioner feedback on the requested height adjustment. It does seem it sort of cuts two ways. It seems that it's a relatively minor in terms of the portions of the design that are impacted. I guess which cuts both different ways. On the one hand, it seems minor, and it doesn't impact any of the issues in terms of the flight, the airport flight path. But at the same time, it seems to be a design choice. So I just thought I would. In the past, sometimes there's been something sort of, certain building regulations, or there's, other factors at play that might impact a height, a modification to the height. But if folks are comfortable with it, just curious to see if anybody had any concerns or if folks are comfortable with it as proposed. Commissioner Chapman.
Yeah, I think it's pretty insubstantial as far as the change, as far as the impact of the change. And if the design review board has agreed that it makes it look a little bit pleasant to look at, it's already a very built up area. It's not on a scenic corridor. I think it's reasonable.
Commissioner Maynard.
I'll agree with what Commissioner Chapman just shared. I was trying to see how quickly I could find this in the zoning ordinance, but I believe from my memory, there is even some specific language we had put into the zoning ordinance around potentially allowing for height increases for the specific purpose of hiding equipment on roofs. And I'm not able to find that section really quickly, but I seem to remember that was something that we had sort of intended as one of the examples of where we would find that to be an acceptable modification for height. I think it's I like that it's only a portion of the roof. I like that they considered, and even sounds like they sent in some design plans for if we really wanted to keep it at 35. They actually looked at that fully and were able to offer that as an option. And it's allowing them to do more electrification of the heating and cooling system, which is really going to help us from a climate change perspective. So I also appreciate that. So I am comfortable with the height given all of those.
My only other comment really, you know, it seems that this has been, a thoughtful proposal, and that the condition, you know, that the conditions of approval address, you know, various concerns that commissioners have raised. I thought it was important that one of the conditions of approval also includes ensuring that the childcare location is protected from a certain amount of noise because it's in the flight path. There might be additional noise from the fire station too, in brief moments. So I think that's important. I will say just that intersection remains. And that whole region we know just remains so impacted. Storrick Hollister, at the shopping center and then down there, it just sort of remains an ongoing challenge. And I realize that some of that concern may go beyond what we're considering tonight. It's just a challenging intersection to navigate, and so once a use is actually up and running, it's only going to get worse. So I do hope, in terms of the city's planning processes from a public works perspective, that would continue to be considered. Any other Commissioner Chapman?
Thank you. I would like to second what Chair Smith was saying about sort of the Stork Road, and yeah, any intensification of use here, I think, is going to exacerbate that, especially with the jobs, housing imbalance, adding jobs. And I know that we, that is why we collect the transportation impact fees, among the others, is as a part of mitigating that. But I do think it does highlight the need, and especially, looking back at that bicycle bridge, I mean, it is a shame that the county didn't get to that, because there is a huge untapped potential of other modes besides driving of people north of the freeway getting to this area. There's very little commercial in that area, and we know that there was a problem back in the early aughts of teenagers crossing the highway, going from Dos Pueblos to go to the shopping center. I know that someone was killed around that time. And so I think a fence has been put up, but, I see a lot of teenagers riding their e-bikes over the Stork overpass, and gosh, I get nervous for them. And if they had an alternative to get to the shopping center, I really do think that we should find a way to do that and use the tools that we can. Because I think a lot of, vehicle trips could be mitigated, which, there's increasing capacity, but there's also that way to help with the traffic is to replace car trips. And so I do hope that, the city council does continue to pursue that. But the impact of this particular project is relatively small in the scheme of things, but it is an impact nonetheless.
Any other final comments or deliberations from commissioners? Commissioner Fullerton.
I think it's a really nice project. I am really glad that the gas station didn't move forward. I think this is a much better use of the space, and it is needed. So I think it's well designed, and I think it is a good purpose. So I support it. And I would make a motion. Are we ready to try to make a motion?
I would welcome a motion.
Okay.
Chair Smith, can we close the public hearing first?
Oh, I thought I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't hear that.
Okay.
But let's, okay, great. It's been closed.
Oh, yeah, this is probably a long one.
Yeah. Okay, so I would like to make a motion. After considering the evidence presented during the public hearing, to adopt Planning Commission Resolution Number 23- entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, recommending that the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, approve a specific plan amendment to remove APN 073-440-026 from the Camino Real specific plan, approve the removal of the specific plan zoning overlay designation on the subject property, approve an amendment to the Camino Real project development plan to remove APN 073-440-026 from 95-DP-026, approve a development plan to allow two new medical office buildings with a total area of 37,200 square feet and daycare use and assorted site improvements with an approximately 2-foot height adjustment, and accept a CEQA notice of exemption at 6975 Santa Felicia Drive, APN 073-440-026, case numbers 21-0005-DP, 21-0002-SP, 22-0002-ORD, 23-0001-DPAM, attachment 1.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And I believe we'll do a roll call vote.
Yes, thank you, commissioners. Please also be sure to lock in your votes on the panel, and I'll go ahead and start a roll call vote. So we have Commissioner Miller.
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton.
Yes.
Commissioner Chapman.
Yes.
Vice Chair Maynard.
Yes.
And Chair Smith.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
So the motion passes 5-0, and that concludes this item. I wanted to thank members of the public and the applicant, city staff, as well as the design review board for all of their time and effort on this project. Thank you very much. Okay, we are going to move on to our next item, which is planning director comments.
Thank you, Chair Smith. I wanted to begin by thanking the commission for the long hours and hard work that were put into our three study sessions jointly with council, and your work was very much appreciated, and let you know that the housing element revisions, which reflect the commission and council's direction, have now been posted for the statutory 7-day period. So those are up for your review, and following that, we will be transmitting those to the state of California. Also, I want to alert you again to the dam dinner coming up this Saturday on August 19th at the Lake Los Carneros Dam from 4 to 7 p.m. We hope that you and members of the public will be able to attend. And then we will not be holding a meeting on August 28th. We do not have any items, so we will cancel that meeting. And our next meeting will be on September 11th. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. I think the dam dinner is a great community event, so I do hope to see other commissioners there as well. Do we know yet when the Planning Commission will review once again the housing element? Sometime later this fall?
Yes, it will be later this fall. We expect it will be in November. So as soon as we submit the housing element to the state, that will begin a 60-day formal review period, and then we'll have to address any revisions from them before we bring it back to the Planning Commission for recommendation onto the council for adoption.
Got it. Thank you. Okay, and next, any Planning Commissioner comments, questions, announcements? Okay, I see none. And then we'll go to adjournment. I believe we need to do a roll call vote for adjournment.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Fullerton?
Yes.
Commissioner Chapman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maynard?
Yes.
And Chair Smith?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. This meeting is adjourned.
Waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become